You're listening to Wholesaling Inc. episode number 1180.
Speed is the essence for me with dealing with a customer. I want to get back to that individual, and more so now because I'm hearing more and more comments from them that, you know, what's going on out there? I hardly ever got a letter on my property. Now I'm getting 10 or 12 of them a month. You know, there's big development going on, but so I want to get back to them as soon as I can.
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
Hello, Rhino Nation. It's Brent Bowers. I've got a very unique episode today. I actually have the unique opportunity to interview my father, who's been doing land for a couple years now. I kind of pulled him kicking and screaming into it. I've been talking to my father for years about investment opportunities. We worked together. We did manual labor together. And you're going to hear a lot of stuff today unpacked. My dad went through back surgery. He was ran over by a truck literally right before I was born. So his body was already beat down. And he's been doing manual labor his entire life. And then what really got him and my mother to wake up and start acting as an entrepreneur, business owners, was when they almost lost their house, their property, their land, everything they worked so hard for their entire lives. So today I get the unique experience to share this episode with you where I interview my father, Bo Bowers, who is doing land. I hope you enjoy. All right, Dad, thanks for jumping on with me. I know you're out doing errands. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine, son. Doing good. Not going to complain.
I know that you're out, you said you're out picking up an assignment fee. What was that for?
Well, that was for a piece of property that I acquired and just sold it and went and picked up assignment fee from the title office. And I was running short on time. If I had more time, I could have stood there because they were completing another closing that was done. They were just dotting the I's and crossing the T's, and they were going to cut my checks for that assignment fee, which was going to be double of the one that I just picked up, having the benefit now that I don't have to wait on every penny. I told them I'll just be back to get that later, unlike what it used to be.
Well, that's awesome. And I'm kind of privy. I get to hear a lot of your land transactions, your land deals, because we get to talk about them. But I have completely lost count of how many you've done over this short amount of time. Where's that number at right now? Because I think I know where it's at, but I know you know a little better than I do. How many land transactions have you already completed to this date?
Well, that's a good question, because I'm not really one to keep track, but guesstimating, I would have to say I'm probably in the mid-50s on land purchases and sales.
Okay, good. Because I told someone you were approaching a little past 41 the other day, so I wasn't lying. All right, good deal. Well, how long have you been in land? And I want to know more of your backstory. And I'm going to tell it a little bit to the listeners, you know, as far as, you know, what's going on with you. But I'd like to hear it from you. Like, why land? What made you get started? Have you been in real estate a long time? I just kind of want to know more as far as what drove you to do this land business.
We'll start at the beginning then. I've lived in small town America my whole life. I worked with my hands doing manual labor, always outside, and I enjoyed it. But with that and things that go on in life, accidents here and there, I got run over by a truck, and years later started having problems with my back. So I was doing pretty good for myself, but with that accident and back surgery, I had limited options. I was still out there struggling doing the manual labor with a lawn service that in 16 years now that I acquired from my son. And speaking of you know, Brent never had to be motivated. He was self-motivated, and he started this business, and we didn't know that, you know, 30 years later, 20 years later, whatever, that I was going to be going into business with you and taking it over as you exited and joined your real estate venture back in 2005, March 2005, when I came out in business with you. and the lawn business that you had built while you were in school before you had an operator's license that either mom or myself would drive you. But then as you got your operator's license, you built it to a pretty good business by the time you graduated. So anyway, you left the business in 2007 to do your real estate venture. In 2017, I had to file Chapter 13 bankruptcy to keep everything I had worked for because I could not keep up with my financial obligations. And then you called me and said, "Hey, Dad, I got a meeting in Orlando, and I'm just going to stay at you guys' house Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, and just drive back and forth." So you come to our house, and you said, "No, by the way, I made you my VIP. You're going to learn the basics of purchasing and investing in raw vacant land." So that's where my venture started, was with you, and we have went from there. So I know I tend to ramble, but
that's a lot.
Where I've been my whole life.
That is a lot to unpack. I think you have to let on a little bit. I mean, there's so much to talk about here. You know, first of all, 50-something land deals in a very short amount of time. And I think I told you what? Yeah, it was about 2017 you started this. So a very short amount of time. But I think the listener probably wants to know a little bit more about, like, what in the heck? You got ran over by a truck. You don't hear somebody talk about that every single day. Would you mind sharing a little bit more about that situation?
I'm not really one to do interviews. I'm normally up at the podium during my JC career and stuff, telling people what we're doing and listening, but it's different being on this side. And most people done know me now. If they don't want a long, the whole dadgum story, don't ask Bo a question, but unpacking some on the truck. Long story short, I was working two jobs. I'd get off of one at 2 p.m, and I would be at the other one at 3 o'clock to make extra money just so we could have a little more comfortable lifestyle. And I was passing this game room on the way to my second job that my mother operated. And I seen my uncle's vehicle, and I hadn't seen him in a while. So I turned around, went back, and he's going to be there for a little bit. So I called my second employer and told him what was going on. He said, "Fine, no problem." So that was, you know, about 2:45. At 10 o'clock that night, we're still at the game room, and a fight erupted. And I didn't hit nobody. I didn't have any words with anybody. I just got the gentleman that knocked the other fella out with one punch, and he melted down the wall. He's holding him by the hair of the head and pulled him back up the wall, and had his fist drew back to hit him again. And it was my uncle that knocked him out. And I said, "Hey, you just knocked the fella out. That's fine." Anyway, a pool stick got broken by his brother that come in. Long story short, out in the parking lot, the guy was doing donuts in the parking lot. And it's kind of like a fog rolling in. The fog was drifting towards us. And out of that fog cloud came a set of headlights, and I tried diving out of the way, but the truck hit me in my left hip, knocked me out in front of it, and then ran up on top of me and stalled. Frame of the truck sitting on my left hip, and just from my chest to my head was sticking out from underneath the truck. And they had to pick the truck up and pull me out from underneath it, broke my leg, pelvis, and hip. So it didn't break my hip, it dislocated it. So anyway, I recuperated from that and worked manual labor the rest of my life. And then that was the beginning of the downfall of my back problems that led to bankruptcy from May of 85. So I made it, 32 years before herniations and finally a ruptured disc.
Wow. Yeah. So you're lucky to be alive. So that you basically, what I'm hearing here, your body recovered from that, and then you continued to do manual labor. I was born in 1985 as well. I remember some of that story where my mom was working in the outpatients of the hospital when they brought you in, and they were asked, "Hey, take mom out of the hospital." And, you know, you guys are still together to this day. Not too many children have their parents that are still together happily. So that's a testament to you and mom and the hard work. And I do remember every morning you got up and went to work, and you've been doing manual labor. So it's beautiful to see that you're making money with the land and not having to hurt your body doing it. So thanks for sharing that. And the bankruptcy in 2017, I remember those days, like, you guys were possibly about to lose your entire life savings that you'd built up with the land that you guys had bought in Okeechobee. and the 21 acres and the house and all these things you had built together. If I understand correctly, land saved you from losing all that, and you guys are doing better now. So I think how does it look now? I want to know, like, okay, the deal's going now. I know you're doing less and less with the lawn business, less and less with the manual labor. And that's what it is. It's absolutely manual. I don't think people realize how hard it is to mow and weed eat grass in South Florida during the heat of the summer when it's 105 degrees and you're just sweltering with the humidity. But how does it look now, these land deals you're doing? What are things looking like? How has that changed?
Well, things are looking real good now. Yeah, I'm still, like I say, mowing the grass. I'll be 60 this year. So each year it gets a little bit harder on me, like that heat and stuff. But one of the trips up or back, I was talking with you, where you're buying land on pennies on the dollars. I'm hearing the professionals now, you know, telling me how to do this and that and the other. And I remember telling you, I said, son, it all sounds well and good. I said, if I was to find a property for $250, I said, I'd have to borrow the money to get it, son. So there's where my son comes in now, the teacher. He said, Dad, you put in the work. If you get an accepted offer, you send it to me. I'll look over it. And if I agree with it, I will put up the money. And then when it sells, we'll split it 50%. And I said, well, that's okay, son. That's the only way I can do this. We done it. Got a buyer. And then we closed, paid $3,000. Let's see, paid $3,600 for 3 acres and sold it for $10,000. And when it come time to pay the piper, you said, Dad, I'm not taking your money. You put in the work, you sold it. So I done that, and that was sending out the LOL letters, or you call them land offer letters. And like I said, I'll be 60 this year. I didn't grow up with computers. And I remember getting on to you, and we got our very first computer. I'm being so careful with it that I didn't hit the wrong key because I didn't know if it was going to explode or what it was going to do. And then you'd get over there and you'd just go to pecking on keys, and it'd make me, I'd get upset and threaten to whip you. But I didn't know what you was doing, but I'm basically still that way on computers, but through the, you know, fillable letter. And I had to, I researched one by one because I don't know how to pull the, even to this day, I don't know how. You know, pull the whole list and then filter this and do that and whatever and get down to here's a property. So I knew where raw vacant land was in my community. So I found it on the property appraiser site and I pecked on each one of them. Well, I did find, I stumbled accidentally on the tax delinquent list and doing each one by one and retrieving tax records right from my property appraiser. I've done something. What is this list? So then it come up, and well, here's their name, here's their address, here's everything except the phone number, parcel ID. So I started using that. I didn't know what copy and paste was, that you could click on that parcel ID and then go over here and it would copy, and then I could put it in a property appraiser site. So I literally, I would take pictures of it with my phone and then get to the property appraiser site and look at my phone and enter the parcel ID. And I don't know how many letters I've done that way, probably 150. So it's taken me a while, obviously. But over time, I've learned a little bit more. And I think I'd sent out somewhere around 1,400 land offer letters, doing each one of them manually from, you know, folding it, putting the envelope, and then handwriting the address. So I've done probably 31, 32, or 33 deals with those handwritten, or, you know, doing them manually. And then you introduced me to the world of postcards. And now I just click on an email and view an invoice and proof the postcard, and then PayPal, pay that payment, and then the postcards you get automatically mailed. So I've done put on, I think, about 15 pounds now in the last 3 months since we've been doing these postcards.
So you're not working as hard.
No, I'm not. I think the lady gets upset with me because by the time I pay that invoice, she's got the next batch to go, which I only send out 250 at a time because I'm still the...
Are you talking about
Tara? Labor. Tara.
Tara at 3D Mail. She's been amazing. She knows all of us very well. She's she's not getting upset. She's a servant at heart.
I emailed her and said, no. She said, when are you ready for the next batch? And I replied to her in a couple of days, and then finally she emailed me, said, I'm going to go ahead and cancel this invoice. I guess it's messing up her bookkeeping on that end. But I emailed her, I said, Tara, I said, I'm the kind of individual that when I get 10 or 12 responses off of 250 cards, you know, I want to do my research and get back to these people as fast as I can. So, you know, I want to wait. I'll tell you when to mail the next one. So, about the third or fourth day after I tell her to, you know, I pay that invoice and she sends them, well, the phone starts ringing. For about 2 days, it rings. You know, I might get 10, 15 responses, and then I want to go through them. I don't want them to stack up. You know, I want speed is the essence for me with dealing with a customer. I want to get back to that individual, and more so now because I'm hearing more and more comments from them that, you know, what's going on out there? I hardly ever got a letter on my property. Now I'm getting 10 or 12 of them a month. You know, there's big development going on. But so I want to get back to them as soon as I can. When the phone quits ringing, then, like, when I get home, I'll be paying an invoice so she can send out the next batch.
I say, I'm just doing some math up here. For every 42.4 LOLs you send, you do one deal. So you sent out 1,400 land offer letters to do 33 deals. So carry on with the postcards. I want to hear the numbers on those as well.
With the postcards, I don't remember if I was the ninth batch or the 10th batch. I don't know if I paid for 9 or paid for 10. So at 250, that's 2,500. And that's where the numbers went from, you know, 31 with the LOLs to getting close to 50. So right there is, you know, going to be about 16, 17, 18 deals off of 2,500 postcards. If that gives you a better picture.
Yeah, 2,500 divided by, let's just say, 17 deals. And these are paid deals. So for every 147 postcards you send, and how much do these postcards cost?
The 250 postcards, I think my invoice is $140.25.
All right, let's do that. 250 divided by 140. So that's not right. 140 divided by 250. Let me do it that way. It's 56 cents a piece. So how many did I say you had to send? 147 times 56, 147. So you spent about $82 in postcard to do one deal. What would you say your average deal is for your assignment that you've been collecting on these deals?
That's the other thing with me, which I've told you it'd be called analogy. I could hold a property longer, or I could, you know, finance. Right now, I still got the bankruptcy payment and everything else, and I don't have, you know, a lot of money in the bank. So speed is the essence of me, and on that bankruptcy payment, it comes on the 15th. I need $2,500, $2,342. So I start the property, you know, high, and I start getting calls on it, whatever, and negotiating down. If I can make $2,500, and I'm looking short game right now, and as we go along further into this, then I can hold out more, look at doing some financing. I was actually talking with Mom on that the other day about every three deals that, okay, we'll be able to finance one of these. You know, just whatever we pay for the property, you know, that will be the down payment. For me, a single is $2,500. And if I can make $2,500, I'm going to pull the trigger.
So turn and burn. Just getting it done, basically, you know, just volume, really. And there's nothing wrong with that. I see the why. I'm hearing the why. It's just get that bankruptcy payment taken care of, you know, and you're also providing an amazing deal for your buyers. You know, you're helping the seller. And I remember one time you told me that, I don't know if you remember this, but it was one of the first deals. And oh, by the way, we're actually having people pay off on those first deals we did together out there in Florida, because I'm actually having to sign the warranty deed on them now so they could transfer to these landowners. So we're creating landowners, new landowners that wouldn't have had the opportunity if we didn't allow that financing. But what you're doing now, and I don't know if you remember this, what I was about to say a couple minutes ago, was I remember you telling me that someone was just selling a piece of land one time just so she can go around and buy everyone Christmas presents. You're helping the seller. He was about to lose it. So she was about to lose it. Then she gets to buy Christmas presents. And that one, we got paid as well. And then on the end, a buyer got it for, I don't know, I think it was Soledad was our buyer. She was paying like $300 and something a month. And she made out. So it was a win, win, win. And then the way you've been doing these, like you send them out, the seller gets cash quick. You're providing speed and convenience. They're giving it to you at a crazy massive discount in a hot market. And then you're turning around And I won't get into where you're advertising your land yet, but you're turning around and offering it quick cash to someone that wants a piece of land. And a lot of these people are moving from the coast because they can't afford the coast anymore. So they're moving inland a little bit in Florida, and you're also providing it for them. So the seller's getting a win. You're getting a win because you're making your bankruptcy payment and keeping your land and your house, your retirement. And then your buyer is also getting a win. Okay. So nothing wrong with the volume strategy that you're doing.
Well, that advertising medium I was using, I've not even used it on the last, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 deals. It's been repeat buyers.
Buyers.
And I'll get a text, hey, you got any more properties?
You've built a list of buyers beating down your door, waiting for what you've got.
Yep. I got a text yesterday from a realtor. Hey, you got any properties out there or wherever? And I said, nope, not this time. But then I've had previous buyers contact me. Hey, have you got any more properties? And I say, yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm in the process of signing a contract with a seller for this area over here. So yeah, I have people checking in with me. So I've not even advertised the last, 11, 12 deals, whatever it is.
How's that feel? Like just knowing that you've got a list of hungry sharks ready to eat as soon as you provide them the opportunity.
Well, it made me feel like I need to, up that 250 to 500 and move a little bit faster to get some inventory.
Yes. I mean, you're always going to have that. I feel like with my land business, we're either selling it faster than we can buy it, or we're accumulating it faster than we can sell it. It's like, it's always, and that's a struggle with my business. I'm always like, okay, if we can just even this thing out to where we have enough coming in for the demand. And it seems like it's always like a little, it's cyclical really at the end of the day. Sometimes there's just more demand than there is supply and vice versa. Sometimes there's just more supply than there is demand. But lately there's been a lot more demand than supply.
Yeah. You'd think we're in a boom economy right now, the way the land values are going up. But as we can all see when we go to the grocery store and the gas pump and all that, this is not a boom economy, it's inflation. Oh, they tout how, we created the most jobs in any history of any president or whatever. No, that's just people going back to work. But yeah, the inflation, but prices are going up that now when I get a call on my postcards, they tell me what they're going to accept. They don't want to hear my offer. They just tell me, said, I'm getting, 10 letters, 12 letters. And I think, obviously they're starting with the highest one, and that's not even good enough. They basically tell me, if you can't pay this price, don't waste my time. And me and you had this discussion over the weekend. I still, give them my offer. It works. I had one call me about a month later, 2 months later, hey, is that offer still available? And absolutely. But having to pay more now, I'm having to pay almost double of what it was when I started this thing almost 4 years ago. But hey, I just got to hit a single. And I'm happy with, the income still coming in from the lawn business.
Yeah, I'm finding there's a lot of demand right now for land due to these inflation prices. I mean, there's people doing things called land banking. They're just trying to put their money somewhere that will keep up with this crazy massive inflation. Interest rates being down is also helping things. But one thing I just kept hearing through this entire process, and I've got one more question, but I want to mention this first. One thing I just kept hearing through this entire process is, you're not a computer genius. Like you just pretty much just figured it out. You found the tax delinquent list. You worked in your community. You kind of grew where you were planted. A lot of people just want a quick fix, or they just want to just jump into something and it's just going to make them a tremendous amount of money without putting the work into it. I just kept hearing that, like the manual labor, the manual, doing it manually, licking the stamp, licking the envelope. And I remember like you would handwrite the envelopes and put your return address and even do some highlighting on your land offer letters. Most people are not willing to do the monotonous one by one, but I'm counting here and you've sent out a total of 2,500 postcards and 1,400 land offer letters. And these guys that buy houses, I mean, that wouldn't even get us a house in Colorado Springs. We've got to send almost 6,000 postcards to get one house in Colorado Springs. You've done almost, 50 something deals now with less than 25, 35, almost 4,000 letters total. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I hope the listener is hearing this. It's like, sometimes you just got to do it and do it until it works and just, I mean, my story, I had to time block. I had to get my butt up early and just get things done. And most people aren't willing to do that. They're looking for the easy button. And yeah, it sounds like you found the easy button over at landofferletter.com. But you know, that's just one of the ways. And just for the listener, I know they're all thinking, well, how in the world did Bo build his buyers list? Was it some kind of like, what did you do to build this list of hungry buyers?
Well, where I was advertising, you know, it'd get a lot of clicks, a lot of people checking on a property. And so I kept up with those names, and I'd get a property, and the ones that was serious, I could tell who was serious, I would send it out, like on that 27 acres we ended up getting there, and then subdividing it and doing all that, that you just had one of your customers pay off that note there. But you know who your serious buyers are, and then when you get calls from your signs, you know who's serious and who's not. So I kept up with them, and then I've got about 5 or 6 or 7 buyers now that I just check in with them, and I don't have to do any advertising. And I don't want your people to think that, you know, $2,500 is all I'm shooting for. I've actually hit a couple of grand slams for me that I normally do not try to do anything on Sunday as far as, you know, meet somebody at a property. And I've heard other ones in the industry that they never go to the property, never this, never that. That's not me. I go to every property. I go with my buyer. I walk the land with my potential buyer. I answer their questions, and I let them know, hey, I live here. This is right where I live. I get personal with them. The only time the father-in-law that was their land guy could look at a property was on Sunday. He said, oh, it's going to be after church on Sunday. It won't be till 1 o'clock. So I went out and met him and showed him 2.5 acres. And that morning before I went to church, I checked my email, and I had a signed contract for another 2.5 acres. I took them to the one that I discussed that we were talking about. So I wanted to get them to that one first because I've got the signed contract now. And, you know, the 60 days, you know, closing, trying to close it before 60 days, which that's because COVID and all this and getting title searches done. But anyway, I showed them that one first because I was on the clock with it. I think I was 2 weeks into it or something. But anyway, I showed them that one. They said, well, you got any more? I said, well, as a matter of fact, I just got one in this morning. So we went over, and they ended up buying both of them the same day. So the commissions from those two and a half acre sales was almost half of my net for a year mowing grass by myself.
Wow. So on two deals, you made an assignment fee that equaled about half of what you usually make working a year at your manual labor job of mowing grass.
And I'm the sole employee, and my boss man, you know, butthead, so you know, it's not like I can call in. But no, yeah. I enjoy the manual labor. I've done it. But yeah, that's it. About half of my year's growth on a Sunday. That's the Lord's blessing right there. I mean, I firmly believe in the Lord, and not that I had to tell him anything, but in the beginning on going with you and learning just the basics over a weekend. That's all I had was weekend class. And well, your son's in it. You can call him, but you know, I very seldom call you for any advice or anything else. I took what I learned over that weekend, which was the basics, which was enough for me because I guess I'm pretty much a natural salesman anyway with I like to run my mouth and talk as you guys are hearing on this, but,
Well, it's just the fact that you go and walk the land. You're not treating them like another a number, and you make me think about my own business because, you know, I'm a huge believer. I'm like, I'm tired of going to the land. Like most of the time, it's in the middle of nowhere, and I don't want to meet these people and have people stand me up. And you're spending your time on a weekend. You're away from family. Mm-hmm. But I've heard some of your stories, like you go and walk the land with them, you create friendships. And I mean, sometimes, you know, it takes longer than you plan, or they don't show up, or, you know, it's like, hey, have a beer with me. And you really don't want to have a beer with them. But I know you take that time to create the relationship. And I think that's why it's gone so far for you.
Yeah. And where I was going with that one, I said, I'm a firm believer in the Lord, and I try not to do that stuff on Sunday. But I remember in the beginning of all this, you know, the weekend class and stuff and praying about it. And I remember praying and and saying, Lord, if you bless this venture, I'll give you. And I stopped myself mid-sentence like, wait a minute, don't think I'm bribing you, Lord. You know my heart. You knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. So no, this is not bribery. This is just my commitment that I've not been able to do that. And you're supposed to pay yourself first, the Lord first, and then yourself second. You pay the Lord. Well, do that bankruptcy and stuff. And you told me this, son. You got on to me. Pay the Lord, pay the Lord, pay the Lord. And so I promised him, you'll get, as soon as that money hits the bank, the check is wrote for the 10% of the gross. And we have kept that commitment and been able to do a few things for a couple of individuals here and there. And the Lord has truly, truly blessed this venture. And he blessed your mom and myself with our children, you and our daughter. We're just so proud of the individuals, the adults that you two have became.
Well, thank you. We had a very good model of what we should be. And, I remember those days just, letting us be at Sunday school and kind of just seeing the way we should live. And, it's said in the book, the great book, those that are faithful with a little will be faithful with a lot. And those that they're not faithful with much won't be given much. So I know that we never want to let the left hand know what the right hand's doing, but I know that some of your tithes have been sometimes larger than some people's entire year's salary. So I'm proud of that. I get to see that. And I know a lot of our listeners believe that as well, because, the great head rhino, Tom Kroll, really showed us the light of tithing and how powerful it is, because it's one of the commissions that we're given, that commandments that we have to follow. So thank you so much for jumping on here and sharing. I wish we can, we might need a second part two of this series, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people wanting to know a lot more. But one more question I've got for the listeners if you could go back, say 3 years from now, what would you have done a little bit different in your land business?
That's a good question. I might have probably took a computer course.
That's funny you say that, because Helen, the great Helen Way, Jen's mother, Jen is has been with me since April 2016. She was my first hire to add to my team, because I remember getting so aggravated. I spent a ton of money sending out land offer letters, mailers, postcards, and then the Army just up and sends me to the field and takes my phone away because we're doing battlefield operations and cell phones don't work in the mountains of Afghanistan. I just literally went in debt to send out mailers and I couldn't take the phone calls. And I told myself, I was like, never again am I going to miss all these phone calls of motivated sellers. But anyhow, I brought Jen on board very shortly after that. I showed her what I was doing. I said, look, I'm doing about a deal a month. Come grow with me. And she really, she's helped me grow my business. She's been my right-hand woman with building this business. And she actually just paid her personal home off last week. But anyhow, we hired Miss Helen, Jen's mother, to help us sell land for about 6 or 8 months. And we had to send her to computer school because she didn't know anything about computers. But she could sure sell some land just like you, Dad. All right.
Yeah, that's all I would say I would change is a computer course. I mean, it took a long time in the beginning, researching everyone individually, but I had nothing else to do. I had to survive. But I just thank you that you, there's a couple of times you've had to smack me upside my head to do something and push me and just set my ways. Just always lived in the country and just set my ways, still carry a pocket knife. That's just me.
Well, that's what good kids are put on this earth to do, is to aggravate their parents and drive them to do things they don't want to do. So, guys, you've heard it. This has been a great episode with my father, Bo. He's in Florida doing crazy land deals. He's got his mailing perfected. I mean, with his land offer letters and his postcards, you hear it. He's 59 years old, not a computer genius. If you're listening to this story, I mean, I'm a living testament of this. Like, I've been able to do this. My dad can do this. You can do it as well. If you're interested in seeing if it's possible for you to get started in this, head on over to wholesalinginc.com/land. Schedule a call with my team. Let's see if we're a great fit. Let's see what your goals are in real estate. And if we can help you do it, I'd be honored to coach you. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.